They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
With many sanctions on their way out now, Iran moves toward a more frictionless system for moving money across the border. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The U.S. lifting many Iranian economic sanctions this weekend is an oil market story, but it's also crucially a story of money moving in and out in ways that could change the lives of people in Iran as well as businesses inside and outside of the country. Amir Paivar is a business correspondent for the Persian service of our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Good morning.
Good morning.
As a practical matter, how might the lifting of sanctions play out in Iran? What might change first, do you think?
First and foremost, Iran will immediately be increasing its oil exports, given it finds people to buy its crude. You know, the market is already flooded, but Iran will be trying to win back its customers. More importantly for Iranians, now Iran is connected again to the financial system. Iranians can transfer money back and forth from Iran to overseas. Iran is envisaged that it will increase its GDP growth from current level of 0% to 5% in next financial year.
How ready is Iran's infrastructure for joining the modern system of global commerce? There's some work to do.
Oh, yes, indeed. So in some areas like oil and gas, a lot is ready. There's already been work on new contracts, new projects, and as soon as big oil companies come back to Iran, work can start. With banks, because they've been isolated and cut off from international financial system for a long time, there's a lot to do. International banks were the most hurt by sanctions, i.e. the U.S. Treasury imposed hefty penalties on the banks that violated those sanctions and worked with Iran. Those big banks will actually be very reluctant in engaging Iranian business anytime soon.
Amir Paivar at the BBC's Persian service in London. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As for the price of oil, many energy market participants did not expect sanctions to come down quite this early in this year. Combine that with the surfeit of oil Mr. Paivar just mentioned, and you would expect the price to drop further. Oil markets in the U.S. are open even on this Martin Luther King holiday, and the benchmark price is now down 1.5% below $29 a barrel, which is cheap with a capital C. The big global economic and market story of the week beyond Iran sanctions lifted could be tomorrow's official reading of economic growth in China. Market participants in the U.S. have been obsessed by China's prospects, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Because China's economy and its economists are heavily influenced by the government, we already have a pretty good idea what the official GDP number will be, says Sean Miner at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
The target for last year was around 7%, so I think they'll need to be very close to that to project the image that they want.
China's communist leaders want to show they can manage an orderly transition to more moderate growth after the super-hot growth of the 90s and 2000s. Cornell economist Eswar Prasad says whether China is actually growing at 7% or a bit more or less, what matters is the economy is slowing down.
China, since the global financial crisis, has been the biggest contributor to global GDP growth. So when it slows, it has a huge effect on the world economy.
For instance, on crude oil prices, which have plummeted as China's factories use less oil, and on stock markets worldwide. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Officials say the teen birth rate in America is falling. That's an economic story on many levels, given that teen parents often leave high school early and tend to earn less money. But to bring down rates further, especially in poorer neighborhoods, some researchers are trying to focus on teenage guys. Reporter Eilish O'Neill has more from New York City.
16-year-old Bruce Garcia remembers the first time he talked to his dad about sex. It was just a few months ago.
Say, hey, dad, there's this girl, like, you know, I want to impress her and stuff like that. It is awkward at first.
Bruce's dad, Victor Garcia, says he also felt uncomfortable.
Es mi primera vez que tengo más comunicación con el menor de todos.
Garcia says he never talked with his three oldest sons about sex and relationships. He didn't know how. But in June, he got some tips. Vincent Guillamo Ramos, a social worker and nurse at New York University, had started a program for dads.
We want them to talk to their sons about their sexual activity, preventing a pregnancy, using a condom correctly and consistently, getting themselves screened for STIs, including HIV.
Guillamo Ramos works with families in the Bronx, New York City's poorest borough. There, nearly 8% of 15 to 19-year-old girls get pregnant every year. That's nearly twice the rate of Manhattan. Economists disagree about whether these pregnancies cause high dropout rates and poverty, or whether teen parents were at risk of dropping out of school anyway.
Unfortunately, teen pregnancy often gets framed as being a girl's issue. Well, boys are 50% of the equation.
Guillermo Ramos says teens wait longer to have sex and have safer sex if their parents talk to them about it. Bruce Garcia says his dad has been pretty clear about the issue.
My dad tells me, just be careful. Like, don't move too quickly. Don't escalate things to the point where you're going to do something really dumb. And next thing you know, we're going to have to talk about whose diapers are we going to change.
By the end of 2016, Guillermo Ramos's program will have reached 800 families. After that, he wants nurses and social workers to take his program and run with it. His goal is to get fathers and sons talking all over the U.S. In New York, I'm Eilish O'Neill for Marketplace.
And SpaceX had a weekend with highs and lows. The private space company successfully launched a weather-tracking satellite. Then SpaceX tried to land the spent rocket on a drone platform out at sea to prove this could work for recycling space hardware to save money. The sea was choppy, and upon touching down on the floating platform, one of the landing legs broke. The thing fell over and exploded. Look, this stuff is hard. Could you or I have done any better? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.